This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn also in studio. He is a homeschool father of six, and you take over the world your way. We'll take over the world ours. But ultimately, it's Jesus who's taking over the world.
Amen.
So we're content with that. But at the same time, friends, it seems that so many Christians turn their children over to Caesar. Question is, who's raising your children? Who's teaching them? Are they being raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? And are you delegating the teaching, the overall paideia of your children over to their peer group? Are you turning it over to Hollywood? Where are they getting their values? Where are they learning their basic worldview? What are they subjecting themselves to in terms of their culture, their media, and their education? Well, the Parents Television Council has issued their 2017-2018 report. No surprises here. PG-rated programs. In the 2017-2018 season, registered 28% more violence, 44% more profanity than 10 years ago, and the TV-14-rated programs now 150% more violence, 62% more profanity when compared to the 2007-2008 season, which means that there has been a massive increase in the amount of profanity, a massive increase in the amount of violations of the seventh commandment, the third commandment, the sixth commandment, the eighth commandment. Well, pretty much figure every commandment is being violated wholesale, and there's hardly a conscience available even for those that are subjecting children to these things. But I'm not sure it matters as much anymore, Steve, because, well, 85% of 10 to 12-year-olds have access to the internet, and some 95% of 13 to 17-year-olds now have access to iPhones. So I'm not sure it really matters whether they're watching this TV or that TV, given that there are hundreds of porn sites, hundreds of millions of porn sites, just a click away, and most parents don't really care.
Yeah, either that or they just don't know anything. They try to turn their back on it, thinking that it's not happening, not to their children. Their children would never do anything like this, and their kids are spending hours and hours and hours on these things, and they even by accident can click onto porn sites and other things, and then they are hooked, and they can get it at any time, anywhere, and their parents just have no idea.
Well, it certainly is an indication of a post-Christian world in which there is no sense of morality, no sense of a national conscience left anymore over just every form of violence, every form of sexual sin, every form of horrible, profane language. There just isn't anything of a national conscience towards any of these things left. But there are, I think, a few Christians left who are somewhat concerned about their children. Matthew 18, verse 6, Jesus did warn us in some of the most severe language concerning how we treat children. And this includes, I believe, the physical sexual abuse of children, as well as the sexualization of children by way of the iPhones and by way of the peer group and the pop culture that you subject your children to. Matthew 18, verse 6 says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hang around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Our Lord Jesus Christ is most concerned about the sin in which parents, in which pastors, in which teachers, in which schools allow children to be subjected to peer culture, pop culture, and educational materials that would encourage the violation of the commandments of God, specifically the seventh commandment, the sixth commandment, the first commandment, the eighth commandment, the tenth commandment, and so forth and so on. And Steve, I think there's just very, very little protection of children anymore. The sexualization of children is almost wholesale. By the time you come to the point at which you send your kids into a California public school and the bathrooms are transgendered and the curriculum is homosexualized by law, it seems to me that all bets are off now for the protection of children, and it's the millstone treatment for pretty much every parent and every administration official who subjects children to these sorts of influences.
Yeah, it's just seems like it's open season on kids for any type of experimentation. This is as bad, if not worse, than what the Nazis were doing and what actually we were doing in the early 1900s on this experimentation. Only we're experimenting with their psyche, we're experimenting with their minds by over-sexualizing them, telling them they could be any gender they want to be, giving them medications in order to change their hormones and all of that. It's just sickening. And we're going to reap the negative results of this someday, and we're going to look back and go, how in the world did we ever let this happen?
I think the Parents Television Council is pretty much irrelevant at this point. You know, it was perhaps somewhat useful in the 1970s and 1980s, but now the Parents Television Council are irrelevant. They do warn and say, hey, you know, all of the television programs have increase their violence and profanity by, you know, X hundreds of percent over 10 years or 15 years. So we get the sense that we are the lobsters or the frogs in the slowly boiling water. And we have certainly hit 211.9 degrees Fahrenheit at this point. So we get a sense for the rapid perversion of the culture and the destruction and the desecration of childhood. So we get a sense for how badly we are desecrating childhood in the present day. But friends, it's not so much the television that matters anymore. It's that iPhone in your child's hand. It's the access to the internet that is far more concerning. It's the access of your children to their peer groups. You know, again, so much of a change has occurred since the 1990s, in which parents were gathered around the television set and perhaps had somewhat of a conscience and somewhat of an awareness for what their children were watching. But friends, that's changed tremendously today. At this point, it's not the television set. Nobody's really watching the television set when it comes to all of the access to personal electronic devices that are available at a rate of, what, 85 to 95% for most 10 to 17-year-old kids in those homes. If you're not controlling the cell phones in the home, if you haven't pulled all the smartphones and thrown them away, you're not controlling what's happening with your 8-year-old, your 10-year-old, and your 12-year-old in your home, period. That's just the way it works. If you're not controlling the cell phones, all bets are off for everything else. Who cares what television programs are playing, as long as your children have access to 100 million porn sites? You can't control the cell phones of the other 34 kids in their classroom or in their school either. So if you have this impression that somehow you're going to control your children's cell phone activity, but your children are off to the public school, to the Christian school, you have no control over what's going on with the other 34 kids in that classroom. The peer contact, the pop culture access for your kids will be pretty much 100%. So just keep that in mind. You know, families used to watch television together, but not much anymore. And here's the other thing. Subjecting yourself and your children constantly to profanity will do one of two things. It will either harden them in their acceptance of harsher and more immoral and degraded forms of sexuality and perverse language, or you will be increasingly grieved by it. So if you have constant access to the popular culture in which profanity is constant, then you'll either be hardened to it or you'll be grieved by it. Steve, it's got to be one or the other. You're either going to be hardened by it or grieved by it.
Yeah, there's so much desensitization that happens. You start to just let things slip. And so you end up, I think most people get hardened rather than grieved. And that in and of itself should be grief producing.
Yeah. Either going to be sackcloth and ashes because of the imposition of profanity upon you through the corporate world you live in, or whatever it be. You'll either be in sackcloth and ashes 24/7, or you'll be hardened to it and more acceptant to the lower and lower degraded forms of sexuality and perversity. Well, friends, it's for us to be grieved by what's going on in the culture around us, and to fear God and to realize that His judgment is imminent upon this nation, and to call ourselves and others to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, it's either salvation by Christ or judgment. That's it. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Americans are more and more acceptant of profane language. 150% increase in profane language for TV 14 programs over just, 10 years. And it seems to me that's pretty much been what has happened to American culture on all levels. So it's, I'm sure, no surprise to our listening audience that American television has become 150% worse than it was just, 10 years ago. But Americans are more and more open to the free use of language in which the name of God is blasphemed and in which humans are degraded by the use of profane language, typically sexualized language or language that glorifies or constantly makes reference to excrement and so forth and so on. Americans seem to be focused on those forms of language that degrade ourselves and others, as well as language that degrades God. So that's what profanity is all about, and that's what America apparently is fixated upon. But meanwhile, Americans want to end freedom of speech. So it's interesting you have this desire to be more and more perverted and profane in language and to live extremely immoral lives at every single level. But also Americans want to see their own freedoms abridged sharply, especially for those that keep the commandments of God. So it seems that Americans are not only pushing for massive levels of immorality, but also for increased levels of tyranny. It reminds me of the proverb, "For the transgression of the people, many of the princes thereof." Or as our founders used to say, either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. That is, by God you will see his judgment coming upon a nation by the tyranny that he will bring down upon a nation. So that was the approach that our founders took, because it's ultimately the wisdom of God that either we be governed by morality, self-governed by morality with strong morals and strong values, especially in terms of our families and the way that we raise our children, or if we increase in levels of immorality, we will see massive tyranny descend upon a nation. And that's precisely what is going on right now, my friends. We're looking at a tyranny unlike anything this world has seen, given the massive level of immorality that Americans are countenancing right now. According to this Campaign for Free Speech survey, 51% of Americans want to end freedom of speech, and 25% of Americans want to put people in jail for saying things that offend them. 57% of those surveyed wanted to see the government crack down on newspapers and TV stations that publish biased content. 54% wanted journalists punished with a fine or a ticket. 46% wanted journalists put in jail. So free press, free speech, soon to be gone. Here's the most important element of this survey, and that is 54% of millennials want to put people in jail for offending them by speech. That is, the millennial generation, majority of them want to see pastors in jail, journalists in jail, anybody who offends them, they want them in prison. They want the gulags. They want the communists to come in and destroy free speech. They want fascism. They want communism. They want Nazism. That's where the millennial generation is, largely because of this snowflake-ism that's going on throughout our society today, if anybody feels the least bit offended. And let's face it, the main reason why they want to curtail freedom of speech is not because of the massive increase of the F word, the S word, or the blasphemous uses of the name of God in media. No, no, no. That's not why they want the curtailing of freedom of speech. The one reason for millennials and others to press for the dissolution of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States is this: they want to have sex with whatever they want to have sex with without anybody condemning them or awakening their consciences to these perversions. They just don't want it. So they want the right to have sex with whatever they want to have sex with. Friends, let's face it. That's the reason they want to eliminate the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Let's just face it. They just want to get out there and break God's commandments in the most egregious ways. They want the most perverse forms of sexuality celebrated in the public square. That's where people are today. That's where modern culture has come. John 3:20, Jesus says, "Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." And that's where the millennial generation is. That's where the post-Christian world has come. They don't want anybody to speak the truth. They don't want a little guy in the emperor's new clothes procession to say, "Hey, the dude's nude. This is all wrong." They just don't want that. Steve, they just don't want that.
No, they don't. And so it's kind of ironic. They want to be able to profane the name of God, but they don't want the name of God to be used properly. They don't want the name of God to be used in context with his word. And that's just that's very interesting to me, that the same word, the same sound of those words, but very different meanings. And they want to throw people in jail for having the correct meaning of the name of God and the name of Jesus.
They want their safe spaces and they want the rest of us in jail. I think that's where things are today.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know, there's a documentary that just came out by Dennis Prager and I think Adam Carolla called No Safe Spaces. It opened in Phoenix just a day ago or 2 days ago, and it actually brought in $45,000 from one screen in Phoenix, Arizona, and so now they're opening it up across the country beginning November 1st, and I think it's coming to Highlands Ranch in November 1st, but it's talking about free speech, and part of what's on the movie is snowflakes beware, because they don't want any safe spaces anymore. And this is not just people from the conservative side, this is people from the liberal side. People like Van Jones are saying that these safe spaces on college campuses are detrimental even to the liberal side. And I don't know if you remember Van Jones, but he's very much almost a communist, and he's saying this is wrong. We've got people like Tim Allen and Dennis Prager and Horowitz and others on the more conservative side that have been warning of the safe spaces in college campuses, and they're saying that things might be changing. People might be actually starting to hear that the safe spaces are not good spaces, and it is an affront to our free speech rights.
Well, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, so critical. Wow, 26 words that have stood in the way of massive tyranny and have enabled a public access to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, calling men and women to repentance and bringing their sin to the forefront, but reminding them that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins in order that we would be forgiven, our sins would be cleansed, and we'd be set free from the bondage of sexual sin and all the rest. So again, that message of the gospel has had free reach to the masses in America for, 225 years. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Wow, Steve, 26 key words that have stood in the way of many a tyrant over the last 220 years, but probably incapable of standing before the snowflakes. 54% of millennials are such snowflakes. They want to put people in jail if they offend anybody by speech. Not that they're using you know, perverse language, much like they see on their television programs. But if anybody even dares to use the word of Jesus in the true sense of his name and in a reverent sense, calling people to repentance and to faith and to bow the knee before the living Christ and cry out for his mercy, if they were to do that, 54% of millennials would want them in jail.
That's and that's just crazy. I mean, I don't see how this ever came about, that having your feelings hurt would be so offensive that you would make it a criminal offense, that you would put people in jail because you said something I don't agree with. I mean, give them $10 and have them go buy a spine or something. I don't know. It's just crazy how weak these people have become.
Well, it's incredible how we are on the very cusp of losing our freedoms. And yeah, people say, yeah, Trump's still in office. But friends, the morality of the nation has not improved. There's been no reformation, no revival in the churches. There's been no move towards the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the American public sphere, in the American public universities, in the American Christian universities, in the American schools. There just has not been a move in the right direction. Amongst pop media, you just don't hear anything but an occasional cry in the wilderness where the truth is somewhat accessible. Now, we are on the very cusp of losing our freedoms. The only real saving grace will probably be a breakup of these United States. But whatever the case, let me encourage y'all to keep speaking the truth. Just speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth with a concern for souls. Don't just bring in the law, but bring in grace. Bring in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remind people that this is why Christ came, to save us from our sins. He died on the cross and rose again from the dead, that we ourselves would have a new life and rise up and walk in newness of life and keep the commandments of God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But all of it is a salvation by grace through faith. Call men and women to faith and to repentance, and bring the word of God to bear and encourage people to the renewing of their minds according to the word of God. Now, be careful about criticizing the John the Baptist out there who is speaking the truth. There are a lot of armchair critics who are concerned, and they're criticizing people for speaking the truth. Maybe they're not doing it the way that others would do it. But be ever so careful not to be the armchair critics, always criticizing. Somebody held up the wrong sign. Somebody said the wrong thing in the wrong context. Be ever so careful. Don't be a snowflake yourself. Stop it. Stop being snowflakes. Give people the benefit of the doubt. If they're even issuing something of the truth on the abortion lines or out in the public sphere in any way, shape, or form, stop being the armchair critic. Wow. It's just so few people will get out there and evangelize the gospel of Jesus Christ anywhere or speak the truth in any context. Stop being the armchair critics, criticizing people who are standing up and speaking the truth. And don't get stuck in the paralysis of analysis. Some people just never do anything. They never say anything. They never share the gospel in their workplace. Never. Rather, we should be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. Hey, we're hopeful. They're not. They're hopeless. Why wouldn't you want to say something, especially if somebody asked you about the hope that is within you? Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give people a little bit of the hope of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in any context. It's true, we choose our venues. We don't continue casting pearls before swine again and again. That would be foolish. But say something. Get out there and say something. I think it's for lack of people saying something that we are increasingly seeing our freedom of speech abridged on these college campuses and perhaps everywhere around us. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. Friends, let me encourage you to our resource concerning popular culture, a little resource called The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. We've got a new edition to the book just released, in which we speak of the use of electronic media. So I encourage you to that new book, or the new release of our book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.